Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis. We begin about seven lines down from the bottom at the two dots on the bottom of Nun Aleph Omid Beis. And we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "B'motzi Yontif v'chule." The Mishnah stated that when Yontif concludes, the first day of Yontif, so then the great Simchas Beis HaShoev, all of those events, they started to occur on the first night of Chol HaMoed, which is the second day of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. And it says there that they made a tikkun gadol. What was this great tikkun? What was this tikkun gadol that the Mishnah speaks about? My tikkun gadol, the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Kiosah Shanim. This is what we learned previously in the Mishnah in Midos. What did it say over there? That originally, the Ezras Noshim Chalaka Haisa Berishona. Originally, it was smooth. There were no tables in it, no benches in it. It was Chalak. Chalak means smooth. When you have Basar Chalak, it means smooth meat. And it means that there were no projections in it, no benches in it, no platforms, no balconies in it. V'kifua gizustra. But then they subsequently put in a balcony, this gizustra, these projections that came out of the walls, for the women. This was the Ezras Noshim, women section. V'skinu shiu Noshim yoshus milamala v'noshim milamata. While the whole area was called the Ezras Noshim, specifically the balcony area became where the women would stay, and the men stayed below, down at the bottom, what was the Ezras Noshim, but that was where the men stayed, and the women stayed in the balcony that was created above it. This was this Tikkun Gadol. Why was this called the Tikkun Gadol? Tana Rabbanan, because we learned in a Braisa. Originally, in fact, the women were inside the Ezras Noshim, that's why it was so called, and the men were outside it. And while you're buying, lead they kalas rosh. And this led, of course, to mixing between the two genders. And that wasn't a good idea. It led to all sorts of kalas rosh, all sort of lightheadedness and inappropriate behavior. And rachmon ulitzlan could lead to immorality. So what did they do? So they flipped it around. So they said, okay, the men, you stay in the Ezras Noshim area, and the women will stay outside. But that didn't really help that much. There still was a lot of mixing. But I know you're born the day Kalas Rosh. There was this taruvis over here between the men and the women, and it led to all sorts of inappropriate behavior. It led to lighthearted, inappropriate behavior. So therefore, the rabbi set up this concept of a balcony. Therefore, they set up the balcony system that the women would be in the top in the balcony area and the men would stay on the ground level. And this is the halacha l'maisa today. Many shuls, certainly in the way it was in many places, the women were in an elevated area in the balcony and the men were on the ground floor. Many shuls have this to this day. Again, you can accomplish the same thing with the mechitza. It doesn't have to be literally a higher level, but many shuls were constructed in this fashion, patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara questions how they were allowed to go and change, however, the Ezras Noshim area in the Beis HaMikdash and create a balcony area. How were they allowed to do this? After all, the Pasuk tells us, well, Siv, when you're creating the Beis HaMikdash, it says in Divrei Yomim, Hakol Bechsav Miyad Hashem, Olah Yiskil, that when David HaMelech was looking to build the Beis HaMikdash and he gave over the designs from the Navi, Nasan and Navi, to Shlomo HaMelech to actually go and build it. So everything was written down. Hakol b'chsab mi'an Hashem. Everything was designed from the Navi and told this is what Hashem wants and you have to do it this way. And it didn't seem to mention that you can create balconies in the Ezras Noshim. So how could they do this? So I'm a Rav. Rav says, no. Kro ashkechu v'dorish. There's a pasuk that they darshan and they darshan in the following way. What is this pasuk going to be? Rashi just explains, Shetzorich lahavdil anoshim minoshim. This pasuk darshins that you have to have a separation between the men and the women. Lasos ged der b'Yisrael. You have to have this fence put in to protect against breaches of immorality. Shlo yivo lilei kilkel. And it shouldn't lead chas v'shalom to have a kilkel, to have immorality between the men and the women. And therefore this pasuk, which we're about to darshin now on Nun Beis and Aleph, tells us that was the heter that they had to go change the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav says they took this pasuk, kra, they found this pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, in Drosh, and they darshan in the following way. We turn again, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and the pasuk says, the soft ha'aretz, the land will, so to say, make eulogies. Why did they do this? Mishpachos, mishpachos, levad. The families were separate. Mishpachas Beis David, levad, unishehem, levad. They separated the men and the women during these hespedim, during these eulogies. Now, the word says, Amru. Halo dvarim kavachomer. This is a kavachomer. If during a eulogy, Nebuch, when somebody died, and people are already in a mournful and sad state, when the likelihood of leading to immorality is much lower. Umala asid lavo. This is referring to in the future, Shaoskim Hesped, then the dealing over here with the Hesped, the more we'll discuss whose Hesped it was in a moment. The Ein Yetzara Sholibem, at that point in time, the Yetzahara has less shlita on the people. Nebuch, they're mourning the loss of a close relative, a loved one, so they're not going to be thinking about immorality. And nevertheless, even though the Ein Yetzirah Sholeit Bem, nevertheless, the Torah said, Amar Torah, Anoshim Levad, Anoshim Levad. This pasuk tells us that the Beis David was on one side, the men, and the Nesheim, the women, were on the other side. In other words, they made a separation even under those circumstances when it's highly unlikely to lead to immorality. So certainly here, by the Simchas Beis HaShoev, Asha, Shasukim Simcha, when people are involved in a very, very involved besimcha, something that leads to levity and could easily lead to kalis rosh, and certainly the yetzahar is sholei b'hem. The yetzahar certainly is dancing about there, trying to cause people to do things wrong. How much more so, ala chas kama v'kama, do you need to go and set up a separate area, the balcony, for the women to be in, separate from the men? I would also point out that there are other drashos which tell us that even in a funeral, the satan is marakate, and therefore, how much more so, ala chas kama v'kama, when you have a happy occasion, that the satan is even going to be more marakate. And incidentally, we also have a din related to this. We know that after the month of Pesach and after the month of Sukkot, there was a series of fasts known as the Beis Hei Beis, the Bahab fast, that was set up because of the lightheartedness that undoubtedly occurred and the potential for all sorts of immoralities and inappropriate behavior that might have occurred because of the great simcha that occurred during Pesach and Sukkot. And that's why a separate series of fasts was set up in Cheshvan, the first Monday, Thursday, Monday in Cheshvan, and the first Monday, Thursday, Monday in Iyar, to atone for the potential things that were done wrong during these great times of Simcha. So certainly, in a great moment of Simcha, you need to have barriers put into place. They set up this balcony. That's the drasha that they understood, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to go and change this. It was built in, so to say, into the Bria of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara asks, what exactly was this hesped? Ha hespeda mayavidite. What exactly was this hesped that this pasuk in Divrei HaYamim is referring to? So the Gemara says, "Machlokis, pligi bo Rabbi Dosa v'Rabbanan." This is a machlokis between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. Chad amar al Moshiach ben Yosef shenarag, v'chad amar al Yetzohar shenarag. So machlokis over here. We don't know which one said which. One of them said it was a eulogy for the Moshiach ben Yosef, and one said it is talking about a eulogy for the Yetzohar that has been destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara says the obvious question. We understand why there would be a tremendous mourning and a tremendous eulogy need when Moshiach ben Yosef was Nebuch killed. That's what the pasuk says. That's why the pasuk tells us they felt very bad. They had this Nebuch, this only child. And the pasuk says it's like a bechor. He had a lone child. And it's been dakru, it's been stabbed. So Nebuch, there'll be a tremendous mispeit when Mashiach ben Yosef is killed. So there'll be a tremendous mispeit. There is a very interesting opinion that says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was actually Mashiach ben Yosef. In any event, this is really talking, according to most, about a future event. And we're really not sure exactly what this Mashiach ben Yosef concept is. There's some say that it no longer exists. It was originally part of the plan, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it. Others say that maybe this was, again, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, so it's already happened. In any event, this would be a tremendous eulogy. We would understand why there would be a tremendous eulogy for Mashiach ben Yosef. Great. However, why would there be a eulogy? According to the opinion, it says it was about the killing of the Yetzirah. So, Ella, Laman Diyoma, a Yetzirah, Shinerag, why would there be a eulogy? Hayespeda boile mevad, simcha boile mevad, amai bachu. Why would you have a hesped? There should be a party. There should be great simcha. Why would anybody be crying? Why would anybody have a hesped? So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says a famous, famous drasha. Kididarash Rabbi Yehuda. This is the drasha from Rabbi Yehuda. Le'osid lavo, in the future, at some point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring to us, Mevi'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzahara v'shochato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring in front of us our Yetzahara, and he's going to shecht it in front of us. And what are people going to see? Depends who you are. If you're a tzaddik, b'fnei ha-tzaddikim, or b'fnei ha-rishoyim, they're going to each see this in a different way. The tzaddikim are going to see the Yetzahara in one way, and the rishoyim are going to see the Yetzahara in another way. So according to the tzaddikim, to the appearance of the tzaddikim, the Yetzirah is going to be nidmeh, tzaddikim nidmeh lehem kehar gavoah. Their Yetzirah is going to be like a huge mountain. And they're going to say, wow, I can't believe we're able to overcome this huge mountain. But the Rishayim, it's nidmeh lehem kichud asara. It's going to look like a thin little thread of hair. And they say, I can't believe we couldn't overcome such a small Yetzirah. And each of them is going to cry about this. Halolabochim, halolabochim. The tzaddikim are going to cry about this huge mountain Yetzirah, and the Rishayim are going to cry about this very, very tiny chutasara, this thin strand of hair, Yetzirah. Why? What does that mean? Tzaddikim bochim, the righteous people are going to go and cry because they're going to say, Omer, heich yocholnu, lichbosh har gavoch. How do we somehow manage to overcome such a huge Yetzirah? And they're going to be astounded, and they're going to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like tears of happiness and joy that we're able to overcome this huge Yetzirah. The Mefarshim explained that the Yetzer Hara gets bigger and bigger because as you become a bigger tzaddik, so HaKadosh Baruch has to keep the Bechira Chavshi intact. If a person is going to still have the same Yetzer Hara he had when he was a five-year-old boy, so most of us will be able to defeat that. The Yetzer Hara is a five-year-old boy. It's not that hard for an adult male who understands a little bit more about life to overcome. So the five-year-old boy has a Yetzer Hara to go say a bathroom word. You don't have that Yetzer Hara when you're 25 years old, hopefully. And the Yetzer Hara, if it stayed the same, would be no kunz for anybody to go and overcome. So therefore, as you grow, your Yetzer Hara grows with you. So the tzaddikim who grew to tremendous heights of tzidkus, so in order to make it fair for them, so the Yetzer Hara has to grow to the size of a mountain. And therefore, the tzaddikim are going to unbelievably say, how could we get over this Yetzer Hara? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you helped us, thank you. And they're going to cry about this. And they're going to say, Hech yecholnu l'chbosh ha-gavoch zeh, without your help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or Rishayim, they're going to cry the other way. Bochab Yomim, what? This was the whole thing that was stopping us from being tzaddikim. Hech lo yecholnu l'chbosh eschut asar zeh. How could we not overcome such a measly, poor little Yetzer Hara? And God, so to say, also is going to agree with the tzaddikim and agree with the Rishon that it's unbelievable what they were able to accomplish or not able to accomplish. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem is going to say, Ki poli be'enai sheris amazeh b'yomim heim gam be'enai poli. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is going to say, I'm surprised that tzaddikim, you're able to overcome it with my help, and the Rishon, you weren't able to overcome it. That is a real shame. I always like to say over famous mice that I heard in the name of Rabbeim, about the Vilna Gaon. Somebody went over to the Vilna Gaon and said, oh, if only I had your Yetzer Hara. And supposedly the Vilna Gaon responded to him and said, if you had my Yetzer Hara, you'd be crushed. In other words, you can imagine the greatness of the Vilna Gaon, how great his Yetzer Hara must have been to make it an equal battle. Otherwise, what's the big deal? Again, Bechira Chavshi is what makes us who we are in this world. If you don't really have Bechira Chavshi, if you tie a person up, my Rebbe would say, if you tie a person up and he can't access anything other than the kosher food that you're giving him, so what type of schar should he get for eating only kosher food? He had no choice. So therefore, if a person has no Yetzer Hara, he has nothing to constantly be fighting against him, so then, big deal if he's good. The Malachim, they don't get any credit for being good. They don't have a Yetzer Hara, so they only have the Yetzer Tov. They only do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them. And now we're going to start discussing more about the Yetzer Hara. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi tells us, Yetzer Hara, betchila dome l'chut shabuchya, ul besof dome ka'avoso su'agola. The Yetzer Hara appears to a person originally as a thin little thread of a buchya. Buchya is, Rashi says, a spider, a chavish. The spider makes these spider webs, and they're very, very flimsy. So that's what the Yetzer Hara was like in the beginning, these little flimsy spider webs that can easily be crushed by a person. However, as the person continues to do averus, and as the person becomes more accustomed to these averus, and the spider web becomes thick, like avoso swagola, like the thick ropes that pull a cart, pull a wagon. Shenemar, and this is alluded to in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hoy, Moshe ha'avon, you people that do all sorts of sins, you're pulling these sins. Originally, you pull them, b'chavle hashav, but then these chavli hashav, these little nothings, these spider webs, they end up being very, very thick ropes. And that's why when a person does have eros, they become more natural to him, and therefore they become thicker and thicker, and it becomes that much more difficult for a person to get out of Rachmanu Litzlan doing these eros. Tana Rabban in the Brisa tells us more, Moshiach ben David, she'osed lihigalos, b'mehir b'yameinu, im yitz Hashem, Moshiach ben David should come very quickly. What's he going to say? Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, Sha'al mimeni davar v'tein l'cha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell the Mashiach, Yitz Hashem should come then very quickly, here Yomeinu, hopefully today still, and he's going to be asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want? And Shenemar, where do we see this? Because the Psukim tell us over here in the Tehillim, it says, Shenemar, Asapro el chok v'gomer, the v'gomer over here is Asapro chok Hashem omar elai b'ni ato ani hayom ilaticha. And that's the end of the pasuk we have over here after the Vagomer. And then the next pasuk is Sha'al Mimeni Vetena. This is pasuk Zayin and then pasuk Ches in the second Kapitel of Tehillim. So it says Sha'al Mimeni Vetena, Goyim Nach Losecha Vechuzoscha Avsi Oretz. That's the rest of the pasuk. And what this means is Vekivin Shiroh Moshiach Ben Yosef Shinerak. Moshiach David is going to see that before him Moshiach Ben Yosef was killed. So he's going to be fearful for his life. So he's going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, he's going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Eini Mevakesh Mecha El L'Chaim. I don't want anything else other than to live. You had the Moshiach Ben Yosef and you allowed him to be killed. So Moshiach Ben David is going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I want is to live. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond back to him, Omer Lo, Chaim. You're asking for Chaim, you already asked for that. Ashlo Amarti, even before you asked for it, your elta zaydi, David HaMelech already asked for it. Kvar his nabe olecha David avicha, your elta zaydi, your father David HaMelech, he already asked for the shenemar. As another pasuk says later on, in Kapitel Chafalef in Tillim, it says, shenemar chayim shal mimcha nosatelo v'gomer. What does this mean? Chayim shal mimcha nosatelo orich yomim olam v'ed. That's the end of the capital, that's the v'gomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, yes, I will grant your child, Moshiach ben David, he will have a long life. Not like Moshiach ben Yosef, who will be killed. Gemara continues discussing the Yetzirah. Dorash Rabbi Avira, v'item Rav Shuvan Levi, either Rav Avira or Rav Shuvan Levi, who said the following drasha. Shiva Shemos Yesh L'Yetzirah. There are seven names. We see that there are seven people that call the Yetzirah by different names. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel himself called the Yetzirah Ra. Where do we see this? Shenemar. Because the Pasuk in Bereishis tells us in Parshas Noach, Shenemar, Ki Yetzir Lev Adam Ra Mine'urav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yetzir Lev Adam Ra. He created it with Ra. He created it with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah enters a person at the time of birth. It says that the Yetzirah Tov only comes in at the time of the Bar Mitzvah or the Bas Mitzvah. In any event, Yetzer Lev Hadam Ra Minu Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within a person his Yetzer Hara right from the very start, and it's referred to as Ra. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the Yetzer Hara as Ra. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Koro Orel. Moshe refers to the Yetzer Hara as the Orel, the one who didn't have a bris milah, the Orel. Shenemar, Umaltem Eis Orlas Levavchem. This is not talking about the Orla on the foreskin. This is not talking about on the bris milah orla. This is talking about the orla that you have in your heart, and it remains uncircumcised if you don't do it properly. So umaltim es orlas lachem. Moshe Rabbeinu said you got to go and circumcise your yitzahara. Your orlas levavchem has to be circumcised, and if you don't do that, it's going to be metamtim es alev. It's going to stuff up your heart. So Moshe Rabbeinu referred to it as orel. The yitzahara was the orel. David, how did David HaMelech refer to the Yetzirah? Karo Tomei. David HaMelech called the Yetzirah your Tomei thing inside of you. Shenemar, Lev Tohar Baroli Elokim. And from the fact that it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you a Lev Tar, that implies that there's a Lev Tomei. Mechal De'ika, Lev Tomei. That there is a Lev Tomei. And that's why we say every day in the Shema, Alivavecha. We say the Beis has two Beises, and it didn't say Libcha, it's Alivavecha. You should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yetzer Tov, that's represented by one of the Beises, and with Yetzer Hara, that's represented by the other Beis. You have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with even the negatives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instilled in your character. So let's say a person has a natural greedy nature. So you have to be greedy of other people's Torah, and therefore want to be like them. So you can use that negative attribute of greed that you want to have what they have to say, well, I'll therefore spend more time learning Torah, and I'll be greedy for learning more Torah. So you can use these negative attributes to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. That's what David HaMelech called the Yetzirah. He called him the Tomei, the Lev Tomei. Shlomo HaMelech, Kuro Sone. Shlomo HaMelech called the Yetzirah the one that you hate, the Sone. Where do we see this? Shenemar. Because the Pasuk tells us in Mishle, which of course was authored by Shlomo HaMelech, Shenemar, Imro'ev Sona'acha, if your enemy, the hated one, meaning a Yetzirah, is hungry, Ha'achileu Lechem, go and fight it with Lechem, feed it Lechem, Vimtzami, and if it's thirsty, Hashkeyu Mayim, go and give it water to drink. Ki Gecholim Atachose Arosho, Vashem Yishalim Loch, because there will be coals on your head, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you for fighting against the Yetzirah. So what does this mean? So homiletically, Rashi darshins this over here when it says, if Roev Sona'acha, if your enemy, the Yetzirah, is hungry, meaning Yetzarcha Hara, Roev V'toyev L'Aveira, it wants you to do Averos. So what should you do with him? Ha'chileu Lechem, Rashi says, Ha'tricheo B'milchamta Shel Torah. Bring him to the base Medrash. And the Lechem here is Milchamta, play on the word, the war of Torah. The Siv, L'chu Lachmu B'lachmi, as it says also in Mishle. So therefore, go and feed him Torah. And Hashkeo Mayim is another reference to Torah. The Siv, Hoi Kol Tzomei L'chu L'mayim, famous pasuk in Yeshaya. So therefore, this is what you do. You go and fight Yetzirah with Torah. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech called him Sone, the one that is hated. Now, as an aside, we dash at the end of the pasuk, Al Tikri Yishalim Loch, it says, Vashem Yishalim Loch, Ela Yashlimenu Loch. It's a play on the word Yishalim to also mean to complete you, to make you Sholem. And therefore, if you go and fight the Yetzirah, then you will become Sholem. You become a perfect person. As Rashi says, Shehi Sholem Yetzircha Imach. Your enemy will become perfect inside of you. And become your loved one, and won't make you go and sin, and to be destroyed from the world. Again, if you so to say, enslave your Yetzirah to do good for you. If you make Yetzirah, the negative attributes inside of you, if you turn them positive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they can be wonderful allies to you and they can complete you as a person. Okay? So we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had Moshe Rabbeinu, we had David HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech. That's four. The fifth one is from Yeshaya. Yeshaya called the Yetzirah a michshal. Yeshaya called him a stumbling block. Where do we see this? Shenemar, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Shenemar, solu, solu, panu derech, harimu michshal mi derech ami. Go and make the road nice and smooth. Remove the stones from the road. Remove these stumbling blocks, these takala, the Yetzirah, from your way. So that's number five. Number six was Yecheskel. Yecheskel Anavi Kuro Evan. He called the Yitzhar an Evan. Where do we see this? Shenemai, as the Apostle says in Yecheskel, Vasirosi as slave ho Evan. I removed the heart of stone, Mibsachem, from inside of you. Venasati lechem lev basar. And instead, I put in a human heart, so to say. I put in a flesh heart. And in this way, it means, again, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away this cold heart and put in a warm heart. In other words, he took away the Yetzirah and he'll replace it with a Yetzir Tov, with good deeds. And finally, the seventh attribute or definition of the Yetzirah is Yol Karo Tzfoni. He called them the one that is Tzafun, right? Tzafun Borech, when we say in the Seder, means hidden away for later. So Yol Karo So Tzfoni. He called them the one who's hidden away. The Yetzirah is the one who's hidden away, as it says. In Yoel, it tells us, Shenemar, V'es ha-tzefoni archik me'alechem. I will go and take this hidden one and take him far away from you. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, this is referring to that which is hidden in your heart. Sofen b'libo shalodom, this Yetzirah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take him away from you. And now the Gemara is going to darshan this pasuk further in the following brisa to better understand it. Tana Rabban, we learned in the brisa, when we darshan this pasuk, es ha-tzefoni archik, I will go and take this thing that's hidden inside of you, and I will make it far away from you. I will distance it from you. This is a reference, the Brisa says, the Yetzirah shetzofen v'omei b'libo shel adam. This is a reference to the Yetzirah that's hidden inside of a person and just waiting to jump on the person when he has the opportune time. And the rest of the pasuk continues, v'dachtiv el eretz tzia u'shmam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him away. He will send him far from you to a land that is tzia u'shomema. That is a land that is, tzia means dry, and Shemama means deserted. So, Lamakum Sheim Bnei Adam Metsuyim Lizgaris Ben. He'll send them away to a place that he won't have anybody to fight with. In other words, he won't be able to entice you to do Ra. Espanov El Hayom HaKadmoni. His face will be to the Yom HaKadmoni. What's that a reference to? Shenasen Einav B'Mikdash Vishon V'Echrivo Nebuch. The Yetzirah caused the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. V'Harak Tamid Yechachamim Shabal. Not only destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so many Jewish people, Nebuch, were killed in the first Beis HaMikdash. Great Tamid Yechachamim. And likewise, the pasuk says, "V'sofel ayom la'achron." The Yetzirah returned on the Yom La'achron. That's a reference to the second Beis Hamikdash. And also, "Ena b'mikdash sheni ve'achrivo," and "V'harak tamid yechamish abo." He destroyed Nebuch, the second Beis Hamikdash, because of our sins that he caused, and Nebuch all the tamid yecham that died because of that. Finally, "V'olah basho." Basho means it's stench. In modern Hebrew, bash is a skunk. So v'olah basho, the foul smell, the stench, the tal tzachanoso, and this odor, this malodorous thing will go and rise up from him. Sheminiach umos olam umiskar b'sonem shel Yisrael. This is a reference to Klai Yisrael. So name shel Yisrael is obviously a euphemism. Doesn't want to say that he'll attack Klai Yisrael, but that this horrible Yetzirah is going to leave the rest of the world alone, so to say, and is going to focus on Klai Yisrael. Rashi says he's focusing all his attention on us. We are the chosen people, and therefore the Satan knows that he'll get his maximum bang if he's able to turn us astray and aside rather than focusing on the Umos HaOlam. Finally, the end of the pasuk says, Ki higdil lasos. What does that mean at the end of the pasuk? Ki higdil lasos. Right? After it says, V'ol abasho v'sal tzachanoso, it says, Ki higdil lasos. So Abai tells us, Abai, U'basamidei chachamim yosem mikulam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed the Satan to especially try to work on the Talmidei Chachamim. And we see that they have a greater, like we said before, they have a greater Yetzirah. It's like a mountain, more so than an average person, and certainly more so than a Rasha. And we see this from Abayi himself. Abayi himself, who said this din, said, Ki hod Abayi shamei lahau gavra, dekarma lahi itza, nakti v'nezel b'orcha. Abayi once was sitting wherever he was sitting, and he heard a conversation between a man and a woman, and the man said to the woman, let's get up early together and go travel together. Now, Abaye thought, Omar, Ezil, I better go and separate them, Afrishinu, Meisura, because Rahman will son, if they go travel together, they're certainly going to do a sin. So therefore, he followed behind them when they traveled, and he was ready to pounce, so to say, and prevent them from doing a sin. So Azul Basrayu, we followed after them, Tlosa Parse, for three parsa. Again, parsa is 4 mil, a mil is roughly a kilometer, so 3 parsi is the equivalent to 3 times 4 mil, which would be roughly 12 mil, 12 kilometers. And he followed them, Ba'agba, he followed them in a swamp. And when he was watching them, and they didn't do an Aveira, he had a parsha in Adadi. Now, as Rashi said, their paths separated, they each going to a separate city. They were two different cities, so they were able to travel up to this point together. And now the Parasha Drachim, now they came to the intersection in the road where he would go left and she would go right, or vice versa. So Piris, Zelikan, Bezulikan. So she went one way and he went the other way. And Abai saw that they didn't sin. Shaminu de Ka'omri, he heard them say, Orchin Rechika, we have a long way still to go, each of us, Vitzavsin Bisima. And your company has been pleasant. In other words, we had a pleasant walk together, but we didn't do anything wrong. And Abai said about himself, Om Abai, Iman de Soni Li Haba, if the one who hated me would be there, in other words, if my Yetzer had been there with me, then Lo Havi Motze Lo Ukme Nafshe, I don't know if I would have been successful in overcoming this Yetzer Hara. Here he was alone with this beautiful woman, Nistama, and he didn't do any sins. And Abai says, I don't know if I would have been so successful. And Ozal Tola Nafshe Biibur de Dasha Umitzdar. And Abai was very upset with himself. He was sad that he didn't think he would have been able to pass such an extreme test that this man seemingly had passed. And he attached himself to the Ibur de Dasha, means like the deadbolt in the door. And he was very upset, Umitzdar. Ozal Usaba, along comes this old man. Many times this old man is Elio Anabi. And Tonalei, and he taught him, no, he said, don't be upset. Because this man wasn't as great as you. And therefore his Yetzirah wasn't as great as you. And if you had only his Yetzirah, you would easily would have surpassed the test also. Kala Godol Mechaveiro, Yetzirah Godol Imenu, as we learned previously. Since you have a greater Yetzirah than this person, so to you, this would have been an extremely difficult challenge. And while you may or may not have passed it, we don't know. Obviously, Abai was Abai. He probably would have passed it, but we can understand why Abai was scared that he wouldn't pass such a test, because a great Talmud Chacham is always scared. We always know we're not even supposed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always want to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't test me. We don't want to say Dabar HaMelech, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to test him, and that ended up not doing so well with the whole famous Maisa of Bathsheba. The book continues, Amar Yitzchak. Yitzchak tells us, Yitzchak Shalotim is Gabru Lobuchol Yom. The person's Yetzirah is constantly fighting with him all day long. He never takes a nap. Famous story about the Chofetz Chaim. He once was in a very cold winter morning in Raden, and it was freezing cold, and he was comfortable in his bed, and he was getting up early to go learn, and his Yetzirah told him, stay in bed, it's cold, stay a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. And the Chofetz Chaim was about to go stay in bed and get a little extra sleep and stay warm under the cover. He jumped up and he said, wicked Russia, you horrible Yetzirah. You're telling me to stay in bed, but you're up. You've been up all early in the morning trying to get me not to go out of bed. So you're up. So if you're up, I'm going to be up also. So this is Yitzchak Shel Adam is Gabal B'chol Yom. Your Yetzirah is constantly trying to attack you. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk that we quoted before from Bereshis, Shinema Rak, and we turn to Mun Beis Omid Beis, Rak, Rak, Kol Hayom, that the Yetzirah is attacking you all day long. Now, as Rashi says, Kol Hayom, Ra'aso Mitosefes, it gets stronger and stronger as the day goes on, as you are also getting into your prime of the day, as you sit in the morning and start doing mitzvahs, and you're getting to be stronger spiritually, so the Yetzirah has to go and combat you, he gets stronger as well. Arvi Shem Lakish, Lakish says, Yitzchak Shel Adam is Gabru L'Bechol Yom, so Yetzirah is not happy just winning. He wants to kill you. His goal in life is to turn you totally against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rahman Litzan. Shinemar, Sofer Rosh LaTzadik, Mavakish Lamiso. The Rosh is always looking at the Tzadik, how he can go turn him, and Rahman Litzan causes death. And if it weren't for HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping you, Vilmoli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'ozolo, if it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the great Tzadikim, helps anybody who wants to be helped, if you go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, please help me, anybody that says, please help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to his aid. But there Sha'odim wrote to Lelech, Molichon Oso. If you want to go well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you go well. Rechman Atzlan, if you don't want to go well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make all the opportunities not to go well come in front of you. So Vilmoli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'ozolo, Eini Yocholo. If it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, you wouldn't be successful. Shenemar, Hashem lo yazvenu biyado, v'lo yarshienu bishavto. Hashem will help you, he'll hold your hand. If he didn't, then you would be in a lot of trouble. They learned in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel, in Pagabach ne manuvel zeh, if this manuvel, referred to the Yetzirah as a manuvel, another name for the Yetzirah, this horrible thing, this Yetzirah comes to you, what should you do? Mashcheil the Beis Medrash. Go fight him with the Beis Medrash, like we pointed out before. They go fight him with Torah. That's the best way. That's the universal antidote for the Yetzirah, is to learn Torah. in Evan Hu, if we compare the Yetzer Hara to an Evan, Hu Nimach, the water that the Torah is compared to, will disintegrate it, will dissolve it. In Barzalu, if we refer to the Yetzer Hara as steel, as iron, Mispotzeis, we'll be able to smash it. And we have psukim to support these drushes. In Evan Hu Nimach, where do we see that if the Yetzer Hara is compared to a stone, that the water will be able to disintegrate it, will be able to dissolve it? Dechsiv, Hoy Kol Tzamei Luchulamayim, the famous Haftorah, telling us when you're thirsty, go drink water. In other words, if a person is in need of Torah, go drink the Torah, and that will help you in everything you do. Uksiv, Avonim Shachakumayim, and it says that water can go and drip, 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 wear away even a rock. Right? You see great gulges and wadis that have been eroded because of the water. So water has tremendous power to go and erode the stone that is the Yetzer Hara. And if you want to say that the Yetzer Hara is more like iron, like Barzel, so then in Barzel Hu, also Mitzvot, you can smash it. Just like a hammer can go and smash a rock, so too the Torah will be able to go and smash over here the iron. It will be able to shatter it. The fire of Torah can smelt even the greatest of metals. It's bad enough that Yetzer Hara constantly is instigating you to do wrong in this world. But then, in the world to come, he's going to be the first person to come and to testify against you. In this world, he seems like your best friend. Hey, let's go have a good time. Let's go have a good time. Hey, you don't need to do that. The good thing. Do this thing. Have a really good time. And then, in the world to come, he say, hey, look what he did. Look at the terrible thing that he did. He functions both as the instigator and as the witness against you. Shenemar, where do we see this? Because the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Shenemar, Mefanek Minor Avdo, that he makes him be Mefunok. He makes him go and do nice things in his eyes, which are terrible things in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Vachrisu Yemono, and then afterwards he's a Monon. And what does Monon mean? Monon literally means like an officer. Shekein Ba'atbach Shel Rabbi Chiya Koren LeSahada Monon. In the Gematria system known as the Atbach system, which I'll explain in a moment, so then Rabbi Chiya's Atbach system, so he showed that the word Sahada, Samach Hey, Dalet Hey, could be used through Atbach to say the word Monon, which is a sar, an officer, and that this person who's trying to get you, instigate you to do sins in this world will be an officer, will be a witness against you in the world to come. What is this Atbach system? So that's basically that if you have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, if you line them up, so they all go in groups of 10. So the Aleph and the Tes, they add up to Yud. The Beis and the Ches, that's the Atbach, they add up to Yud. So all the letters that you can exchange in the same first 10, they can be exchanged one for the other. The Aleph for the Tes, the Beis for the Ches, etc. Likewise, in the second numbering, from Yud all the way up to Tzadi, so you can exchange again the first one, the Yud, for the Tzadi. They can be exchanged. The 10 and 9, they add up to 100. So they add up to 10 or they add up to 100, the same exchange can occur. That's also known as this Atbach system of Chiyah. And for the letters that come in the middle, like for example the Hey, there is no partner for the Hey. Hey can't be exchanged with the Hey. So then you can exchange it with the Nun, which comes in the middle of the 50. So the Hey and the Nun can be interchanged. What about the Kuf and the Tav? They add up to 500. And the Shin and the Reish, they add up to 500, so those can be interchanged as well. That's this Atbach of Rav Chiya. So now let's put it into practice. So this word Sahada, which we started off with, so the Samach is exchanged 60 for the 40, for the Mem. The Nun, we said it's exchanged for the Hey. Then you have a Vav, that's exchanged over here for the Dalet. So the Dalet of Sahada now becomes the Vav of Manon. And then the last word, the Hey, again, exchanged for a Nun. So Sahada, through this Atbach system of Rav Chiya, is known as Manon. So he originally is going to be a Sar against you, and then he'll be a witness against you afterwards. Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna said, in one pasuk it tells us, Ki ruach zenunim hissa, in one pasuk in Hosea it tells us that the reason why a person sins is because there's this external ruach zenunim, this ruach of immorality that led you astray. But then in another pasuk in Hosea, which tells us, Ki ruach zenunim bikirbam, you have it inside of you. So is it outside of you, this Yetzirah, or is it inside of you? That's what the question is. Rav Huna said. He says one pasuk says ruach zunim b'hissa, and the other one says ruach zunim b'kirbam. So it's b'kirbam. Which one is it? So it says b'tchilo hissam. Originally, it's outside and led you astray. Then ubesof, once you've been led astray, it gets so much part of you, it's now inside of you. And Rava adds to this with the following. Amar Rava, b'tchila kro helech. Originally, the Yetzer Hara is called a helech. A helech is a person that, like, wanders. He gets near you. Well, b'sov kro orech. Afterwards, he becomes more like a permanent guest, not just wandering. El b'sov kro ish. And now he's, Rashi says, the balabais. Ish is the balabais. So he starts off as a wanderer. He then gets to be an oreach. And then he begins to meet a balabais. And this is all based upon a pasuk from Shmuel Beis. Shenemar. Vayavo helech liish ha'ashir. This is when Nasan and Navi gives David HaMelech Musar for taking the one wife that Uriah Chiti had, and David HaMelech had already many other wives. And he said, the Navi tells him that you went and took, you as the rich man, he gave him the mashal, that the rich man who was having a guest over didn't use his own sheep to feed him, but he stole the poor person's sheep to go and feed the guest. So, Vayavo helech liish ha'ashir, Vayachmo lekach zbitzon. He didn't want to take his own. He had plenty of sheep, but he didn't want to take his own sheep, his own cows. Lasus loreach, to give to the guest. And then later on, the pasuk says, Vayikach es kivsas liish ha'rosh. He takes the poor person's sheep. Vayasel liish ha'boy lo, and he gives him to the guest. So, therefore, this is the way David HaMelech was referred to over here in this parable, but it's also a parable for the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara first comes as a wanderer, then he becomes a guest, and then he becomes the Baal HaBayis. Amar Yochanan, Yochanan says, similarly, Eiver Katan Yeshel Yodam, a person has this Eiver Katan, it's referring to the sexual desire of a person, his gid, his loins. And Marivo, if you go and starve this Yetzer Hara, in other words, you don't try to constantly satisfy the Yetzer Hara, so then, in fact, Saveya, you'll be satisfied, you'll be satiated. However, if all you try to do is satisfy your tastes in sexual desires, masbio, as Rashi says, b'tashmish, if you constantly just try to spend your whole life having tashmish, so then roi, in fact, you're going to be hungry. Rashi says, gufo chaser koch, it's going to cause your body to become debilitated. The roi lezik, now you're going to be starved in old age. Tosus brings us the famous example of David HaMelech, I just alluded to before, when David HaMelech says, b'chanuni Hashem, go and test me. And Hashem says, okay, I'll test you. Unlike the forefathers, obviously Yaakov, who didn't know they were being tested on what the test was on, I'm telling you what the test will be on immorality, and I'm going to test you right now. So David HaMelech tried to combat this by having relations during the day. He thought he would satisfy his Yetzer Hara, and therefore would be able to pass the test. But pum paket, the exact opposite. The more tashmish a person has, the more he's going to want more and more, and that's going to lead to a person's downfall. As the pasuk says, Shemar, kemarisom vayisbo v'gomer. The pasuk tells us in Hosea, that if you do this by trying to have lots of tashmish, it's going to cause you to be bad. And the end of the pasuk is, "Vayrav libum al kain shichaychuni," and you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amr Chana Baracha, Chana Baracha tells us, "Amr Beirav," they say in the base medrash of Rab, "Arba mischarit aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu shibarim." It's as if Kaviyochal, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, was upset that he created four things. Now, of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not upset. He doesn't have charata that he created something. It means that, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that he had to create these four things, but it's sad that he had to create these four things. That's the way I think you should understand this. And what are these four things? Golus, Elohim Golus, Kastim, Yishmaelim, the Yitzhara. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to create the concept of Golus, he had to create the concept of Kastim, the Yishmaelim, and the Yitzhara. Now we'll darshan each of these from Psukim. So where do we see that Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to say, was upset that he had to go and create Golus, the Siv, V'yatoa Mali Po, no Mashem, Kiluka Hamichinim, V'gomer. I had to put you into Golus, but it didn't do any good. So, therefore, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mischari, that he's saddened, that he had to make the goals, and it's a shame that it doesn't have its desired benefit. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not upset that he made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. And, of course, it's made for good. And, of course, this is part of the divine plan. But from our simple understanding, we're trying to say over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mischari. So it's a euphemism, or it's an anthropomorphism for us to try to begin to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is upset that he created the Kasdim. When we see that, Kasdim Dosev, Hein Eretz Kasdim, Ze'om Lo Haya. So it would have been better off if the Kasdim didn't have to be created. Yishmaelim, where do we see that? Dosev, Yishloyu Ohalim. That's Rashi says a reference to the Yishmaelim. The Shodidim, Uvatuchos, Lamargize, Kel, Lasherhevi, Eloa, Biodo. So they're going over here and causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, to be upset by all the terrible things that they're doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I did this to myself, so to say. And finally, the Yetzer Hara, Tirsiv, Vasher HaRiyosi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I know I made this Yetzer Hara, and it's going to cause all sorts of problems, and I'm the one that caused this. That's the way I created the world. And Ki'ilu, Kaviyochel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mischari, that he made it. but this is actually a help to us. Amar Yochanan, Yochanan says, Ilmale Shalosh Mikros Halalu, if it wasn't for these three psukim, Nismotitu Raglaim Shal Sonem Shal Yisrael. Again, Sonem Shal Yisrael is always Chai Yisrael. We would be cut off at the knees. We wouldn't have any answer, any potential excuse for HaKadosh Baruch Hu why we failed. So this way we can say, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made the Yetzer Hara, and that's why we failed. Chad, number one, Dursiv, Asher Yossi, this pasuk that we just brought down. Number two, Chad Dursiv, Hinei Kachome B'yada Yotzer, we're going to say this soon in the Yom Noraim, the famous piyut. So it says that we're in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're like the potter, who we're the clay, and we're in your hands. And we understand that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's totally up to you. So therefore, you're the one that causes us, so to say, to have not done well by creating the Yetzer Hara. And the last, third pasuk, V'idach, V'asirosi, Eslevo Evan, Mibsachem. HaKadosh Baruch says, yeah, now I'll take away the Yetzer Hara and give you a better fighting chance, so to say. So therefore, if it wasn't for these ideas, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, it's his fault for us to sin. Not, of course, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault, but these are like somewhat of an excuse that we can bring in our defense. So if we didn't have these excuses, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Rapapa adds, additionally, Rapapa Amar, Af Mehai Nami, you keep continuing reading that pasuk, says, Vezruchi Atem Bekir Bechem Begomer. HaKadosh Baruch says, I will now put my Ruach inside of you. Until now, so to say, you had the Yetzer Hara, but now I'll take over, and now you'll be able to walk in the Derech Hashem. Tomorrow continues and quotes the following pasuk, Vayareini Hashem Arbo Choroshim. So this is a pasuk in Zechariah talking about a prophecy where Hashem shows Zechariah these four Choroshim. Choroshim are like certain types of artisans. So the Gemara says, "My ninu arba choroshim." Who are these four choroshim? So Amar Reb Chana bar Bizna, Amar Reb Shimon Chasida. Reb Chana bar Bizna say the name of Reb Shimon Chasida. This is a reference to four great individuals: Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Elio, and the Kohen Tzedek. The Kohen Tzedek, we'll see, is a reference to Shem ben Noach, who's referred to as Malki Tzedek. Melo Shalem, we'll see, Lechav Yoyim, who Kohen, Lekel Yod. So these are the four choroshim that this pasuk is referring to in Zechariah. Masiv Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, really? Then keep on reading. Ihachi, what are you going to do for the next part of the pasuk? Hayinu dechsev vayomer. Now the gersa that we have is a lie, but it really should be leimor. Vayomer leimor eila hakronos asher zeru es Yehuda. It seems to say that these four people were not good. They actually caused Yehuda to be going into galus. Hani l'shuva asu. But you're telling me that these charoshim, these four artisans, are actually good. So what is it? So the word says Rav Chana responds back. Rav Chana was the one that said this statement. Rav Chana bar Bizna, so here he's referred to just as Rav Chana, so Amalei, Shefil, the same for the crowd. No, keep on reading. As I always tell you, scroll down. This is the concept of scrolling down to the end of the link. So Shefil, the same for the cross. Scroll down to the end of the Pasuk. It says, Vayavo Eile Lahachridosam. They came to go and cause a Pachad, Lahachridosam, Liados Eskarnos Hagoyim, Hanosim Karen El Eretz Yehuda, Lazaros of Agomer. So these four Choroshim went to fight these Karnos Hagoyim. So they're two separate things. You have these four Choroshim, these four artisans, the Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Elio, and Shem ben Noach, and they were fighting against these Karnos Hagoyim. Amalei, Rav Sheshes says back to Rav Chana Rav Bizna, oh, I'm not going to start up with you. Bade Chana Bagadata, Lomalei, why would I start up with you? I see you, Rav Chana Rav Bizna, you are an expert over here in Agadatas, so I defer to your understanding of the Pesukim. Mark continues and quotes another pasuk over here from Micha. The pasuk says, "Vayezeh shalom, this will make that you have peace." Asher ki yavo be'atzenu, when Asher comes into our land, v'chiyidroch ba'aminosenu, v'chimonu alav, shiva roam, u'shmona nesichi adam. To protect Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send us seven shepherds and eight nesichi adam. That means leaders of Klai Yisrael, nedivim, princes. So, man hinu shiva roim, who are these seven roim? So it says, David b'emtza, David be in the middle, and to his right, he has Odom Shesu Mishus Shelach. Rashi says these are all before the Mabul, and they were the great people living before the Mabul. They're to the right of David HaMelech, Mimino, and you have Avram and Yaakov. It doesn't say Yitzchak. Rashi says, where was Yitzchak? How come it doesn't mention Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak was busy going saving his children from Gehenna. As Rashi says, v'yitzchak lehechon asa, where did Yitzchak go? La'atzul bono medina shel Gehenna. As the pasuk says, "Ki ato avinu," and the Medrash Alku tells us that he was saving the children. So that's why Yitzchak's not mentioned over here. And you have on the left, you have Abram, Yaakov, and Moshe. They're to the left of David HaMelech. Uman hinu shmona nesichi adam, and who are these eight kings, these leaders, these nesiim, princes of Klai Yisrael? So Rashi says he's not sure why these specifically are named and not others. So we have Yishai, Vishal, Ushmuel. Amos and Sefanya, the great Nevi'im Amos and Sefanya. Now the Gersa we have is Tzidkiyo, but in the Masoros HaShah says you should replace Tzidkiyo with Chizkiyo HaMelech. And then the Gersa that we have is the Moshiach Ve'Elyo, and the Masoros HaShah also changes it around and says Elyo, and then Moshiach, because Elyo is going to come and herald the coming of Moshiach. In any event, these are the eight great individuals that are referred to as Nesichei Adam that will protect Klal Yisrael. That concludes this huge Agadah to the Gemara that we had, and now we go back and quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Arba Sulamos Uchule. In the Simchat Beis HaShoeva, we said that there were these four ladders that went up to the top of these menorahs that had the four bowls in the north, south, east, and west orientations. And I mentioned in the Mishnah, this Gemara, where it said, Tana, the Braisa teaches us, Gova Shal Menorah, each of these menorahs was Chamishim Amma, the Chule, that each of them was 50 Amma tall. And that's why there was such a steep climb up these ladders, which is more what we'll say in a few moments, was showing the great strength of these Pirkei Kehuna that had to carry up the large amounts of oil, which we'll see in a moment was the 30 log that each of them had to carry up to the top. And now we quote that Mishnah. It says, V'arbo yolodim shel Pirkei Kehuna, the four young Kohanim, they took in their hands, b'dayim kadi shemen, they took in their hands these pitchers of oil, and the as I pointed out in the Mishnah, I gave you the Maskana of the Gemara, they took with them Shalmei Aviyasim log. They took 120 log, which is divided up amongst the four of them, so each of them took 30 log. The Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, Ibalu, did each of them take 120, or did each of them take a quarter of that 120? Mei Aviyasim log Kulu, Odil Melechol Chad Vechad, or did each one take a fourth of that, a quarter of that? Which one was it? The Gemara says, Toshma. It says, Uvideim Kadi Shemen Shal Shloshim, Shloshim log, because we have another Brisa that tells us that each of them took 30 log, and therefore, altogether, they had 4 times 30, which is 120. Shem kulam me'av yesrim luk. Okay, so therefore, the other Brisa explained what our Mishnah is talking about, and I gave us when we learned the Mishnah, the Maskana over here of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Tana, we learned another Brisa. Vehei mishubachim hayu yoser mibino shel marto bas baisos. These young Pirkei Kehuna were even stronger. They were more praiseworthy, if you wish, than the son of marto bas baisos. Rashi tells us he's a Kohen, and we remind ourselves that his father was the great Yehoshua ben Gamla, and he was the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Gemara in Yuma, which taught us this, said that actually that Marta Bas Baisos, she was a very wealthy woman, and she paid off to have Yehoshua ben Gamla become the Kohen Gadol. There were actually people that were even more worthy than him, albeit he was a great person, but in any event, she paid off to make him the Kohen Gadol. In any event, he was a Kohen, and we'll see he was extremely strong, and yet these Pirkei Kehuna were even better than him, even stronger than him. What's the story? Amar Avinoshel Marto Bas Baisos, they said about this son that Yehoshua ben Gamla and Marto Bas Baisos had. So he was a Kohen, he was very, very strong, and he wanted to do the Avodah. So Shaya Notel Shtei Yerechel Shoshor HaGadol Shalakuach B'Elezuz. He took the two thighs of this huge ox that was a very expensive animal. It was so large that it cost 1,000 zuz. And when he had to go and bring the component parts, it was an ola, and he had to go bring the component parts up to the Mizbeach, so he would carry both of the thighs himself. Umahalech Okev Bitzad Gudol. And he didn't run up to the Mizbeach like he's carrying a heavy load. He walked up slowly. He put one foot, took small steps. He put the heel of his foot to the toes of the other foot. He took very small baby steps and he carried it without any difficulty. So see how stark he was, see how strong he was. Mahalik Oke Bitzad Gadol. He didn't run. If you're carrying a heavy burden, you'd only run. And yet he was so strong, he took his time. Now, he wanted to do this all the time. He says, I'll carry all the huge parts up by myself. But the other Kohanim didn't let him do this. The other Kohanim didn't let him do this. Lassus came. Why? Yeah, you could carry it all at once. But the Torah told us that there were 24 people that would normally carry a par when it was being brought as an Ola, and give other Kohanim a chance to do this as well. And normally it would take two Kohanim to hold one of the two thighs. And here you wanted to do one Kohen holding both of the two thighs. So in any event, his fellow Kohanim didn't let him do this. But you see how strong he was. And yet it says that these Pirkei Kehuna Mishubachim Hayu Yoser than this son of Marso Bas Baisos. Why is that? My Mishubachim, what does it mean that they were more praiseworthy? They were stronger, in other words. If you're going to tell me, Ilema Mishum Yukra, because 30 lug of oil is weighing more than the two thighs, that's simply not true. Hani Yekiri Tvei, the two thighs weighed much more than 30 lug of oil. So, therefore, that can't be it. So why then is he considered not as strong as these Pirkei Kehuna? Because Ela Hossam, he was carrying them up a kevesh. He was carrying them up the ramp to the Beis HaMikdash. Umaruba, it was a relatively slow slant. We know that the length of the kevesh was 32 amma, and it only had to go up to a height of 9 amma. So therefore, the slope was less than a 4-to-1 ratio. So it basically went up one amma for every four amma in the horizontal. Went up one amma vertical, roughly, for every four amma horizontal. No, that's a slow slant, and therefore not such a difficult thing to do. Below Zokif, it's not a vertical climb. But here, going up the ladders, Hachasulamos, that's a pure vertical climb. Uzukif Tuva, that's a very difficult thing to go carry 30 log of oil, albeit the 30 log of oil weighed less than the two thighs. Nevertheless, it's much more difficult to carry a vertical climb than it is to go take a slanted or slight slanting upward sloping walk. Finally, we'll finish off today's share with the last quote from the Mishnah, these lamps that were lit by these Pirchei Kohuna, so they lit up the entire area of Yerushalayim. Tana, we learned in the Brisa, and we turn to Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. There was so much light, you could actually separate out from the grain that you collected, the wheat from the chaff, from this tremendous amount of light that was lit from these lamps that they had for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. With this, we conclude today's share.